Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right, here we go. Cheers. I don't know what y'all are drinking. I'm drinking Liquid Death. It's that new water thing out there. Welcome to this edition
drinking
of Road Trippin'
Liquid
with
Death too.
Richard and Channing. I'm your host, Allie Clifton. And our guest today, I don't know whose phone's going off. It is mine, is Michael Porter Jr. Before we get to anything and everything on the basketball court, you're also the host of Curious Mike?
Yes.
My friend, you have your own podcast.
Let's go.
Yeah, I need to take some notes from you guys. But yeah, started Curious Mike a couple, probably about a year and a half ago. And then I'm going to start it back up this season. Kind of took a break when I got hurt last year, but yeah.
Breaks
are
good.
What is Curious Mike all about? Breaks are good.
Honestly, it's just having like guests on from like all different walks of life. People I find interesting, but really just the topics of conversation, just things that very open. You know, I feel like in the world we live in today, sometimes people's opinions like are kind of like belittled, or kind of if your thoughts aren't mainstream, you're kind of going to get whatever, canceled or whatever. So a Curious Mike is kind of just a humble way of like letting, you know, non-popular topics and stuff be talked about, I think is the goal that I have for it.
That's tight. First of all, that's amazing. Because it's true. The reason why we started this podcast is because our interest at the time was in telling like our teammate stories. We just want to tell our teammate stories. That's what we were passionate about. That's why we enjoyed it. So for you to want to have conversations and opinions, that's why I think podcasting is what it is. It's because if you're talking about something you're passionate about or that you enjoy, then it's less work. And you learn things about yourself. Like we would learn things about our teammates that we had no ideas about. And then we became a much closer team. So like that was the motive. And so that's cool, man. I dig that.
First of all, yeah. Michael, I think you just literally described our society as a whole with your description of why you do your podcast. Well done. But he did just say he wants some tips from us. Guys, will you give him one tip, piece of advice when it comes to podcasting?
Choose who you work with carefully. fucking choose carefully.
This is kind of a funny group.
Choose like it could be real miserable if you don't like who you work with.
For sure. I'm so sick of Richard. God damn.
Oh, God. It's like, dude.
This is the first time he's been on time all year. Okay, Richard, give him an actual advice. Give him actual advice, Richard.
Well, outside of that, you see how they treat me? So outside of that, actual advice. Honestly, I already kind of went on the spiel. The fact that you're doing something that you're interested in and like you can like figure out the topics that you want to discuss and bring those people on, that is half the battle, right? And then who you work with. But that's my biggest thing. Don't deviate too much from that. Don't deviate too much from that because then, imagine if you did this or everybody will have an opinion. If it's not something that you're curious about, and that doesn't mean that you can't take advice and maybe be like, hey, I didn't think it was going to be that good, but that turned out right. Everybody should have that aspect, but you're doing a great job just with the idea.
Thank you, brother.
I would say one, be consistent, right? So you may get zero followers for like new followers for like a month. And then next thing you know, you get like 4,000 because of one topic. And then they reread or listen to everything that you've done before. So being consistent is one. because people want to go to work. They want to hear your story. Number two, I would say in your situation, you guys are that next up and coming team. And to be honest, not a lot of people know stuff about Joker. Not a lot of people know stuff about you or Jamal Murray. And, you know, no offense, Denver's not a like a hub for where people are like really, really interested. Like the dude is a two-time MVP and you guys are supposed to be like that next team that's supposed to win. And it's like the viewership is not as much as like other teams that are bad because of the drama. You guys are like a drama-less team, which is good, but also bad. But like interview your teammates. Like you have amazing, I have to watch all this stuff like Richard. You guys have so many interesting stories that I'm like, what's, how do you get the name Bones, right? I know he's skinny, but you know, was he skin and bones? Was it because he takes ankle bones, you know, feet bones? Like, why do you call him Bones? Because his handles are sick? I don't know. Anyways. And then number three,
here's three.
Always remember, there's the last one. This is the last one. Always remember that no matter what you say, somebody's going to be a dick on the other end. No matter what you say, you could say, the sky is blue, and somebody goes, what, you don't fucking like red? And you're like, what, what are you saying that? I just said the sky is blue. Well, it's not blue where I'm at, so you're just telling me what I know. No, I know. Damn. So just get used to that. Just get used to that and just get some thick skin and just understand that this thing on social media only exists on social media. So don't let it come into your regular life. And I say that from experience.
The way I talk about the way I talk about the Knicks fans, you would think I couldn't walk around New York City, right? Like, and I'm there all the time. I've never had an issue. So don't don't let people scare you unless they're
crazy. So Michael,
the way I talk about Orlando.
There was your free 10-minute therapy session. But let's get in and talk about you. Curious Mike season two, though, to our listeners is upon us and it's coming out soon. But let's get to you. What's going on? How are you? Hoops. I'll let my guys take over from there, but we're going to start with that.
Yeah, I'm doing well. We're out here in Boston right now on about a week-long road trip. We played Indiana last night, and the plane, it didn't have any fuel, so we ended up not being able to take off till 2:30 a.m. Got into Boston at 4:45 a.m. So I'm running on a few hours of sleep. But so far, so good this season. I think me and Jamal are slowly kind of getting back to form. And we just have a really, really good deep team. I think those trades, you know, to get KCP over here, get Bruce Brown over here, were really big time for us. And I just think we're just going to keep getting better as the year goes on.
I had 15 minutes to look up highest three-point percentage career. Any guesses?
Stephen Curry.
No.
Steve Kerr, close. 45%, highest career. Hubert Davis, second. Seth Curry is third at 43%. Steve Kerr. Now, highest field goal percentage all-time season. Any guesses?
Field goal percentage?
68%. Three point. Let's be 3 point.
Who just dunks.
No,
Someone got 48 before.
Okay. All right. Starting at number three, Tim Legler. Shout out the guy, Legs, right? 52%, 52.2.
Holy shit, for the year.
Yeah, for a single season.
How many attempts, though?
Wait. We're going to get to it. That's fair. Now, Steve Kerr, number two in the night, same season. How about these guys? They were in the same season battling. Or no, the next season. Steve Kerr did it 1 year, and then Tim almost broke it the next year. But the record, a former teammate, Kyle Korver, shot 53% from three. And we know how many that motherfucker was shooting. He was firing away.
That's a lot.
In 2010, he shot 53% from three. Still, So, yes, 53% can be done. So, think about that. It can be done. It's been done by multiple people. So
you got to be launching.
We've seen Kyle in practice. The shit that motherfucker used to do. But he used to train the way he had to practice the way he played, right? And that was a big thing that allowed him to do that. Like, go back and watch. Kyle Korver is one of the greats of all time. The way he could get his feet set, how quick his release was. Like it was a thing of beauty to watch. But he would break it down step by step. Like, you know, that step back to the corner where you're running and you get those steps back to the corner. He would go from like just the three steps and then sprint back. And then he would go the five steps and do it. And then he would go the seven steps and do it. So he would break it down in a very like exact way, but it can be done.
Yeah. I thought I had a flamethrower until we started doing this every day. And I was like, I got a match with some butane. That motherfucker had a flamethrower. It was wild because he could explain. He would be like, oh, that's off right. And me, I'm just like, he would shoot it faster than me, and I'm 7 foot. So, like, I had time to, you know, maybe mess up my feet and just get, the minute it's above my head, it's gone. He was.
How would you compare him to Klay Thompson? Spot shooting.
Klay's is more spot shooting. Klay's is very, they're both, I think. So how I describe shooters, you have your classical shooters, right? So your get your elbow in and just follow through is textbook. And then you have your jazz players. Like Steph is a jazz guy where he could dance. And then at any moment, he can get the ball up and shoot it, right? Steph is a jazz guy. Kyrie is a jazz guy. James Harden is a jazz guy. Because think about how many pull up off the dribble. Yeah. Shoot those, right? And so, man, Klay is – I've been in front of him, and he just goes, whoop, and the minute it gets in his pocket, it's just automatic. To me, it's automatic.
Well, if you had to rank the three, I'm the interviewer and ask, Ray Allen, Klay Thompson, and Kyle Korver, how do you rank the three?
Just shooting?
Just spot shooting. Ooh. Like, if your life
– oh, shit. Just spot shooting. Cool.
Have you ranked the three, Michael?
I would never do that. Like, you can't, like, spot shooting is like, those guys might never miss. Like, those guys might, I've worked out with Allen Houston before. Allen Houston.
he had one knee, and I was there.
My rookie couldn't even move his leg, bro.
It was dirty. He couldn't
move. I just say, spot shooting is something that's very special where it's like these guys and you, you know, I was told before you ever played a game that you might have been the best shooter in the gym, right? And that was like something that like,
I've heard that.
You know, yeah, I heard that was Jamal, Jokic. Like when I left, they're like, yo, do you know who might be the best shooter in our gym? It's that dude right there. And this is before you'd even played because, you know, obviously you missed your rookie year. And spot shooting, as you know, because I believe you to be a pure shooter, is – there's people that can get into that zone, and all those fuckers can get into the zone. You got to talk about movement. Kyle moved a lot faster than Klay did. Klay's got off the dribble shit. Ray Allen was special. Like Ray Allen was a pick and roll guy. He could come off a pick and roll, go dunk on you, cross you up, and then, you know, so it's like that's where the off the dribble is where you get to define a true shooter, or like off the move or off the dribble. Spot shooting. You motherfuckers are so elite. Like, you give me anybody there a shot for my life, I live with it.
Yeah, that's true.
I would say a sleeper person, if we're just doing spots, one of the best shooters who nobody ever talks about is Kyrie. Kyrie, when you were talking about just spots.
Oh, pretty.
9 out of 10. 10 out of 10 every single time. But that he's just not known for that. But, like, he's known for his handles are so good. His skill is so good. But then when you put him with like the elite shooters on the team, he's most of the time with us or beating us. He don't miss. He's like, wait, what? He just like,
yeah,
that motherfucker.
But you see it. You can see it. He'll catch and shoot that bitch, and it's just cash. It's not just off the dribble. But that motherfucker flame
anywhere on the court is cash, dude. That's
I will say this.
Just say it.
And this is gonna cause a problem. I know. If I had to say set shot, I would let Klay shoot for my life before Steph. Ooh. If we're just talking about set shot, swing, catch, shoot, I might let Klay shoot. Now off the dribble, that's not a question. Off the move, that's not a question. I'm talking about pure feet set, catch and shoot.
A lot of people would, but just because Steph is so good off the handle, but I've worked out with the dude in the off season. Like, he spot shooting is the same thing. Like,
It's the same thing. Yeah.
He just Michael, would you could you rank the three?
Those three, if I was to rank them, like who I'm picking on my team as a shooting guard just to shoot the ball, get threes up. And they're all their primes. I'm going Clay number one, then probably Ray, then Kyle Korver. Just because Kyle, yeah, he had it, but it didn't feel as versatile to me as the other two.
Now, mind you, Kyle is legit 6'8", 6'7", 6'8". So he's not. He not little.
He just never did. He didn't do much off the dribble. He didn't do much off. He would pump fake sidestep dribble. He would pump. He would do. He would do a lot less. He had off the dribble, but it wasn't off the mood dribble. It was like get you. But that shit. When I tell you that motherfucker's flamethrower and how fast he would move and get his feet set, and it was up. So
I hated it. Oh,
the only person I've ever seen. I think Steph is the only person I probably have seen with a quicker release than him. Like, I'm trying to think of anybody. Sure. Like, I think, like Kyle's, like, Steph's got the fastest release I've ever seen. But, like, Kyle right there.
All right, we're going to take a quick pause for a moment because our next partner has a product that we are personally using every day. We are all taking Athletic Greens because we want more energy, better immune systems, and we all got tired of taking pills and vitamins. Want to see what all the hype is about? It's obvious. Every scoop of Athletic Greens tastes great, helps us to feel our best in the morning. We have that peace of mind knowing that we're beginning every day with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, and even probiotics. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into flu and cold season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. It's very easy. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you one free year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin, take ownership over your health, and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Again, go to athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin and get started today. This episode of Road Trippin' is brought to you by Mindy. Mindy offers a line of safe and trusted hemp-derived CBD products. And I cannot skip out on the fact that this is a women-owned company. I know what you're thinking. Allie, wow, you never sound this hype when you're doing these reads. Well, it's because I had a full night's sleep last night. Since learning about Mindy, I've been eating their delicious gummies. I love them. And using their CBD stick all the time. During the daytime and at night. And before bed, I take some of Mindy's sleep tincture and always get a good night's sleep. And I wake up feeling refreshed with a ton of energy, ready to roll, even though I've had a jam-packed schedule with TV and travel. Mindy's products are all natural for pain, sleep, stress, and energy. Mindy is a safe, inclusive choice if you're new to CBD. And oh, did I mention they are women-owned? Some things are just worth saying twice. Listen up, Road Trippers. You can save 30% off your first Mindy purchase with this exclusive offer. Just enter the promo code ROADTRIPPIN at checkout. That's 30% off your first Mindy purchase when you enter the promo code ROADTRIPPIN at checkout today. Michael, you said that you were in the gym workouts with Steph.
Yeah, we have spent a couple off seasons, and I'll go out there and work out with him for 5-6 days.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Does he do anything special, like? Or is it just like he just does everything better than everyone
people
else?
People ask this question, man. Tell us.
Yeah, I mean, Steph, so like when we do shooting competitions, it's fun because we keep track of all the wins. So like we'll do, you know, you got to shoot 3 different shots, and it's the first one to 12 makes. And in those workouts, like, it's just so competitive, like, because we both just sometimes don't miss. So we go back and forth on spots. But then, like, I think that the defining characteristic with Steph is his pace. Like, the way he works out in the drills he does is all about getting him as tired as possible so he can shoot while he's tired. So he does, like, drills that some people would do in the half court, like the star drill, where you run from the top to the corner to the wing to then the other wing to then the other corner. But he'll do that full court, and he'll do it like 2 times through, and he has to make like 9 out of 10, but he's doing it the full length of the court, running this corner to the other corner to the
listen. Richard, I could shoot, I'd still be there. 9 out of 10 is ridiculous. Richard would look like Rip Hamilton after one drill. I wouldn't start the drill.
I wouldn't start. I'm like, yo, I can't do that. I can't.
But that it's like 10 when you're tired. And then if you don't get it, like he'll go, then I'll have to go do it. And then if we don't get it, we just got to go one right after the other. Like his trainer, Brandon Payne, is really kind of like he gets Steph right. It's very technical. So
let me ask you this. So obviously you had those workouts with him. I feel like I didn't say with that said, dude.
Oh, my bad.
You've had those workouts with him, and I feel like Denver and Golden State, you guys have had some epic battles just against one another as a team, from a team perspective. So knowing what he puts in, and this isn't an interview about Steph, but I'm saying when you're out there on the floor and he goes off for those moments throughout the course of a game, like, what's going through your mind?
I would say, like, some players, even you can know every single one of their moves. Like, there's defensive players who study their guy to a T. Like, P.J. Tucker is one of those guys. He said he studied, you know, KD, every move he wants to do, every count or whatever. You still can't do anything about it because it's in the course of a flow of a game. So, like, I know, like, we all know what Steph is trying to do. He's trying to pass
can't stop it.
When he gives the ball up, he's trying to come off of staggers or whatever. But in the course of a game, man, it's going to happen. There's going to be mess. Like, he's going to get his 35, and it's just, you know, trying to make it as tough as possible.
What is the one thing that you have – because I love it to hear this, and I think it's great that younger players need those. Like, you got to have the mentors. You got to have the people that you want to go work out with, that you want to train from. And like I said, I've heard elite things about your shooting. Can you tell people at home – because they see shots in the game. Can you tell people at home how shots are not missed in practice or even in training session? They're just not – like, very few shots are missed.
Yeah. Very few. We just got, like, one of those arc things installed in our gym that tells you, like, the arc of your shot or whatever and how many – it keeps track of all your makes. So they just installed that, like, a couple months ago. So, like, when we go in the gym now, we'll turn that on and it'll just keep track of all your makes, all your spots, whatever. And, like, it just turned on the other day, and it just went through, like, the team's, like highest percentage. And I think, like, from three pointers just in workouts, and that's all that – like, I'm at, like, 80%, like, in just working out. Like, and I didn't know that. That's just going to the gym, turning that thing on, just shooting, doing different stuff. So, like, guys
– just 80?
But it's, like, you might go in there and just mess around, though. You might be shooting court shots, whatever. But, no, like, NBA players, even the guys that aren't shooters, like, you put them in drills – they're really not missing a lot.
They're
you
not know what missing. I mean? Yeah.
So that's why, like, you really got to define a shooter by then, like, the game. Because a really, really good shooter might be shooting spots with a decent shooter, and they're going to compete because guys really don't miss in practice. You know what I mean? Like you said, there's so many guys that can get in the zone spot shooting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So really it's how that translates to a game, I think.
Yeah. My question is, like, you know, we retired. I'm 4 years retired. I think Rich is what, 5 or 6?
Yeah, something.
Who
like
is
that
dude that is that you think is like, yo, I love this dude's game that doesn't get, I'm not gonna say national media attention, but regular humans wouldn't just go, damn, this dude is that dude. And he could be on your team. I don't care. Like, you know, you could be a homer.
Hmm.
Who do you think is underrated?
I think that, man, the way Jeremy Grant has progressed over the years is unbelievable.
Dude, what a fucking great name. And I live in Portland, so I see him a lot. We have the same agent. Shout out, Doug.
Because I remember growing up, like, the Thunder were my favorite team to watch.
What?
And I remember him, like, with KD and Russ. Because I always loved KD and KD Spicer.
Oh, okay.
I know. Why did you say it like that, bro? Like, they would...
KD,
I forgot how young he is for a second.
Yeah. He sponsored mine and Trae Young's AU team, Mokan. KD did. So, because Trae's from Oklahoma City. So we would go watch KD. He would take pictures with us, whatever. Okay. So, but I just remember Jeremy always being like a role dude, like just like in the dunker, dunking, whatever. And then he came over to us and I was like, man, this
took off.
He can kind of shoot. He can kind of dribble, like really good defender. And then he went to Detroit, and I'm like, man, this dude is, like, really, really, really good. And now he's up there in Portland with Dame, and he just continues to get better. Like, I think he, you know, he's really good.
Yeah. I think Jeremy does a lot of things really well. He's just not outspoken, right? He doesn't advocate for himself, but if you watch the game, he makes – defensively, he doesn't really back down from many people, right? Everyone's always trying to get switches off him. And then when you look at, like, the play – so he made that play against the Lakers. We drove on LeBron, made that layup. Then he had the game-winning shot in Phoenix. And then in that game against Miami, he made some big plays before Josh Hart got the ball. And I was like, dude, this dude is – He really is a number two guy, but it's just different, right? It's just he's number two, almost like Andre Iguodala at times is the number two, was the number two guy for Golden State when they won that championship, right? You're just making plays.
And to add to what the growth of him, which I think is special, when he was with you guys, he was just a – he was one of those guys that he could go do this for us and we don't really call plays for him, right? Like that was like – because Jokic would pass the ball. He was a great cutter, offensive rebound, run the floor, just made plays. And then he went to Detroit and they were like, well, we're going to call plays for him now. And they started calling plays for him because they paid him and he kept balling. So people don't understand that progression is – fucking hard to do in this league because every time someone gives you an opportunity, you have to take it and build on it.
Especially think about it. Like once you're in the year in the league for multiple years and then you take a jump because like the thing about the league is if you don't break out of a certain mold early on in your career, you'll get stuck in what the coach is or what people think you are. I think like a lot of people just get, they were great in high school. They were really good in college. And then they get to the league and they're kind of put in a role. And then they kind of just adapt to that role. And now they don't really work on other things. So I think, like, after multiple years and then you still figure out a way to take a jump like that is pretty crazy. And yeah, I think, obviously he's talked about a ton. But, like, my other one would be Trae Young. He's an underrated superstar because to me, he led the league in points and assists, but people don't talk about him like a top three or four point guard. But to me, he kind of is because he took Atlanta to the Eastern Conference Finals and he passes and he scores the ball like as good as anyone.
Clutch.
So I don't know why he's not spoken about like he's top three.
Well, you gotta now, he should be because he's a part of that conversation. Because it's like, if you're going to put him in there with the Steph Currys, the Ja Morants, there's the
Damian Lillard, the Kyrie.
Kyrie. So again, now. Like when you start, let me just say this: like when I first came into the league, right, there was small, like it was wings, a lot of wings, Kobe, T-Mac, Vince Carter, like. We're like he's in that category. No one's saying that Trae ain't that dude, but it's hard to like when you got to surpass those guys. And I'm not gonna say better than Steph.
Top five for sure. Definitely but top Luka's five. Point guard, Luka, Steph, Dame, Ja, Trae.
Yeah, that's I'd say the top five. But
okay, well that is the top. That literally and on is any the given top. Night, five. And on, I'm looking. Yeah. I'm just looking.
Yeah, but I think in that list, if you were to like, most people would say, okay, on that list, he's fifth. But my thing would be like, why is he fifth?
You can make an argument for him to be better than Ja. You can make an argument for him to be better than Ja. You could.
Here's
you
why. I will say this. He has the opportunity to be better than Ja. Ja's been in the MVP conversation. Trae has not yet. That's just yet. I think this year with DeJounte Murray, we're going to get the best version of Trae because he's not going to be one-dimensional by having the ball and coming off a screen and rolls. He can play a little bit of the two. He can play the one. You're going to see him be more dynamic. I think Trae, when you can be in the MVP conversation, you're top three. So the top three guys are always going to be Luka. What did I say?
Luka, so you're saying he's got to get into the MVP.
Just get a mention. Just get a mention. Just get a mention, and then after that, you're valid. Okay. You're validated. That's it. That's all I'm saying. Okay. He got the skills: shooter, passing.
He's going. Exciting. I can see an MVP coming for him in his career. I can see an MVP. He does too.
Okay.
He does too much, bro. He does too much. He's too much of a gamer. He's a showman. He's got all that shit to him. I can see it. Like that's like. I can see Trae Young winning an MVP at some point in time, getting a whip around him, average leading the league in fucking scoring and assists the same type of fucking year. I can see that shit.
This is probably going to be an unpopular opinion.
Probably.
I don't think he wins an MVP, but I think he wins a Eastern Conference. Like, he'll get on a team where they win the Eastern Conference Finals, and he'll win that. He'll win the MVP of, like, the Eastern Conference playoffs. I think he's better in the playoffs than he is in the regular season. And that's a huge compliment. Like when he, when the real lights are on, Trey turns into the bad guy. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see nice Trey. I don't want to see all this. I want to see you talking shit, telling people to go home. You're angry. Your teammates are picking you up. You're talking shit. You're shooting the ball. You're disrespecting fools. That Trey I like. The regular season Trey I think is like, all right, well, game 56. Come on, man. Let's get this pushing.
Michael?
Huh?
Your thoughts on that?
I feel that. No, I think all those guys in that top five, you can't go wrong with any of them because they're all so bright. They're all so good. Like
you really don't see that. I think he has the talent, like, because I think he would be the best player on one of the best teams at some point in time in his career, right? Because it's like, it doesn't mean, like, he's not saying I don't think he'll ever be great defensively, but like if he's like, if his team and they, him and DeJounte all of a sudden, like, they lead the East in wins, that motherfucker's gonna get some MVP votes.
All right, I got another one for you.
Okay.
If you're picking a backcourt, are you picking Trey and DeJounte, Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, or Ja and Desmond Bane? I just thought about that.
Ooh. Oh.
Darius and
Garland and Donovan Mitchell all day, every day. And there's a reason
for
that. I'm no offense to Ja, no offense to Desmond Bane, and no offense to DeJounte and Trey. I generally like bigger guards. And I like guards that can shoot the ball. I need spacing. This is 2022. My Ja, and Desmond Bane is not an all-star yet. He's having a great year. Show me you've done it. Donovan Mitchell has been going back and forth during the playoffs and getting 50 balls with that boo-boo Utah team he was playing on, right? What?
They were good.
They were good.
Good enough to get whooped.
They weren't a playoff team. They were good. How you going to disrespect? They beat them in the postseason. They beat them in the postseason. Don't let them disrespect you like that, MPJ. Don't let them disrespect your
team. No, I'm not disrespecting. They were okay. They were okay. They were very flawed.
Good. Like, they were up 3-1. Like, they were really good. They were really good.
Think about, but did y'all beat them or no?
Yes, they beat them. They came back from 3-1 in the bubble.
Is that a courtesy that they were good? They were up 3-1 and couldn't do it. And they went home.
Don't disrespect my guy's win.
I'm saying you're the better team. If they were good, what are y'all, great? So they were okay. They were good. Listen, McDonald's cheeseburgers are good. Steak is great.
That year, I'm not going to lie, that year in the bubble, that shot the AD hit, that buzzer beater.
Ooh, yeah.
That could have been the difference between us going to the finals or not. That series would have gone 2-6, possibly 7, if he didn't make that buzzer beater.
No disrespect, but it was the difference maker.
Yeah,
it was. That shit was the difference maker.
It either would have put us up 2-1 or would have tied it. I forget which one. But then if we would have played the Heat in the finals, I think we would have got there. But
they didn't have a match. With big Yokies? Come on.
Is that a hot take?
No, it's not a hot take at all.
No, I love hearing from like one of the guys. It's like, I love that.
I'm not even mad at that take. Take that shit to the bank. That's what you should have done. But go ahead, Richard. Okay. Tell me, who would you like? You didn't answer your question.
I have to go. You guys stay. I got to go.
Oh, Richard MP. Has to go.
My kids, I got to pick them up from school. I'm already going to be late, but I don't care. Whatever. I appreciate you. I'm going to see you soon. I'm doing your guys' game Christmas Day. I'm doing your guys' day, Christmas God. Day game, man. So I appreciate you.
Was somebody sick?
And I look forward to seeing you. Yeah, bro. No, there's just a lot of games. There are a lot of games.
Look, we can wrap this up as well because I want to respect Michael as well, his time.
Thank you.
I think the one thing we learned, though, is that once we get all of our devices figured out, if you would want to come back on and join us, Michael, again, I know you have Curious Mike coming out soon again. We cannot state that enough. But we'd love to have you back on Road Trippin' if you want to come and chop it up with the guys.
Definitely down to talk basketball.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Love it. We appreciate it.
I do want to push it out there. Obviously, your AAU team is still cracking, MPJ Elite, in your the Porter Basketball Academy as well.
Yes, thank you.
Yes,
all right, let us know if we can ever support that in any other way also.
Yeah, you can give me some money for it.
Okay.
And on what a great way to
inflation. Inflation. Yeah, inflation. I got two accounts. All right, I got to run. I got to run, guys.
That's another edition of Road Trippin'.